Well, I want to get into the into this lesson, and really it's kind of a, it's kind of different for me. I actually went backwards to some things that really started popping up today, and I want to share with some things that I've shared before, but these are things that I think are so pertinent for today. I think it's really just really a word that we need to maybe look at and see its relevance for today. I've got like three different sets of notes here, so I'm just kind of going back and forth, okay? But turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to use that as a jump-off spot. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at, just read about the first 10 verses or so in Ephesians 2. Paul's writing to the church, and he says, "And you he made alive." How many of you are alive tonight? Come on, how many of you are alive? All right, hopefully your neighbor knows that you're alive, okay? "And you he made alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course," okay? "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's important, "the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." What's working in the sons of disobedience right now? This prince of the power of the air, right? What's operating in our nation right now? The prince of the power of the air. There are ruling forces, enemy forces that are at work right now. It says, "among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God." Somebody say, "but God." Can you thank God for that? But God. You see, if it would have ended right there, that would have been a pitiful state. If it would have just ended there, if Paul just wouldn't have written any more and just stopped there, that would have been a horrific state or that man would have remained in, telling us who we were in our old state. But thank God that he said, "but God." When God steps in, things change, don't they? He said, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." How many of you know you are his workmanship? He's working on you. You are his workmanship, okay? That speaks of quality. That speaks of precision, workmanship. He's detailing you. How many of you know he's detailing you? Okay, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's a powerful passage of scripture there. I want to use that just as a foundation to talk about some things tonight real quickly. First, I want to share portions. I won't do the whole thing, but I want to share portions of a prophetic word that Lana Bowser had given. This is not a new word. It's a word that she had given previously, but the reason I'm going to this and the reason I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit, share with you again a little bit about changes in the atmosphere and the elements of the atmosphere, is because I see that right now in our nation and how that so pertains to today. The reality of it. You know, sometimes we receive a lesson that's really good, and you're wondering, okay, how does that fit in? Okay, where is it? It seems to be theory. Okay, if you've never experienced it, it's only theory. But I see what's happening in the nation today, and these things started coming back, and I thought, you know what? This really makes sense for today. So let me share with you some things concerning this prophetic word and then about the changes in the atmosphere and some other things. She writes this as a prophetic word that she was feeling a sense of urgency over the United States. She's from Australia, okay? But God was placing the United States on her heart in an intense way. So she was feeling this heaviness and this sense of urgency for the United States. And she said she felt an excitement in her spirit that the King of Glory is stepping in. Think about that, that the King of Glory is stepping in. The Psalms talk about the King of Glory coming in, right? Well, she talks about this, okay? What she said she saw was the Lion of Judah that was positioned over the United States. But the Lion of Judah was so huge that his four paws, he was standing and his paws were on the four corners of the nation, covering the entire nation. So she saw the Lion of Judah over our nation, positioned over the United States. He was positioned over our nation. He opened his mouth, and out of his mouth came a loud roar. And she said it was the roar of Joel 3:16. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble. Now think about what's going on in the world today. Okay, the earth and the heavens will tremble when the lion roars. When God roars, things tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. How many of you know God is your refuge? He's your stronghold. In these times, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear because the Lord is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our high tower. He is our shield. He's our buckler. He's all that we need him to be right now. Isn't that good? And so this is what she's talking about, but it says it's the roar of God releasing the fear of God across the nation. What is God doing? If God is the one roaring right now, he's bringing a fear of God across the nation. People are going to be aroused to wonder about spiritual things. Okay, people today are questioning about spiritual things. Shell and I get calls and we get questions from people asking us, what's going on? What do you see going on? Because there's a sense of fear, an awareness that something big is going on, more than even what we see in the physical, okay? And so she goes on, says, it was the roar of his authority that decreed this, and this was the decree, nothing can stand against my power and who I am. That's God speaking. Nothing can stand against my power and who I am. You say amen to that? Amen. That is so good, okay? That is so good. Dutch Sheets said something like this that I just wanted to insert here because it was really good. He said this. He said, the enemy sees the Calebs coming and it terrifies him. Think about what's happening right now in our nation. As the nation is being shaken, the Calebs are rising up. Who are the Calebs? The Calebs are the ones that take the hill country. The Calebs are the ones that face the giants. The Calebs are the ones that says, give me the hill country. I know the giants are there. I know they're there, but give me the country. He was 80 years old, folks. He was in his 80s, and he was saying, give me the hills. Give me the battle. Let me fight it one more time. Let me have the hill country. And so what he says is the enemy knows the Calebs are coming. Are there any Calebs in the house tonight? Any Calebs that are saying, God, give me the hill. Give me the hill. Give me that mountain. Are you willing to take a risk? You see, I believe that's where we're at right now. God is looking for people who are going to rise up and take a risk. People are going to rise up and take a stand when everybody else is being seated. Joshua 6:1 says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Jericho heard that the Israelites were coming. And they barred the doors. They shut up the gates. They had a huge wall that chariots could ride on top of the wall. It was a thick wall. They lived inside the wall. It was so thick. But when they heard the Israelites were coming, it scared them to death. And they shut up the gates because they knew God's people were coming. They heard of them, and they heard of their God. I'll tell you what, this nation needs to hear of us and hear of our God. They need to hear of our God and who he is in us. The Calebs are coming. We need to be those Calebs, folks. She goes on to say his roar, his voice, was being released, demonstrating his power and his authority. But the roar of his heart was releasing the sound of the gospel. So there were two things going on. The roar, the sound of his voice was releasing and demonstrating his power and his authority, but the roar of his heart was releasing the sound of the gospel louder than before. Louder than before, that the world would know his great love and his power. And here she says this, a greater unlocking to prepare the nation for a mighty harvest of souls. If God is roaring in these days, if he's roaring in our nation, if he's standing over our nation and roaring with his voice of authority and with his heart of the gospel, he's preparing us for the harvest that's ready to be reaped. Now that's exciting, but are you willing to be part of the reaping? Are you willing to go out into the fields that are white for harvest? He's making us ready. But we've got to stand up. And we've got to go out and share the gospel. As the Lord roared loudly, I could hear his loud roar. And then I thought this was interesting because I came across this today. Yesterday in our prayer meeting, I was talking to the people about the laughter of God. It was either yesterday or Monday. I can't remember. Yesterday. But I was telling them I didn't understand the laughter when years ago, there was talk about the laughter of God being released into the church. And I didn't understand that. I didn't want to come against it or anything. I just didn't understand that. And I really didn't understand it, but I did experience it in the Philippines. I shared with them when I was teaching, and it was a morning lesson. It was a morning session. It wasn't an evening session where everything was just rocking and rolling. It was a morning session. As I was teaching, a lady to my right started to chuckle. And like I told him yesterday, I thought maybe I said something weird, you know, maybe it didn't translate into the Philippine language very well. I don't know, because it was in the Philippines. But she started to chuckle, and I kept on teaching. And as we went on, more people started to chuckle until it just ended up being a laughter. And I could feel it, and I couldn't teach anymore, so I just went and sat down. And then I started laughing. And we laughed for quite a long time. I don't know if it was 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm not sure, but it was just a season of just, there was a joy in the house and there was a laughter. And the thing that really helped me on that was people were coming to me afterwards and said, you know what? Something broke inside of me. I was set free from something. And some people were telling me what they were being set free from, you know? And so here it says, as the Lord roared loudly, I could hear his loud roar, but I also heard the laugh of God. The laugh of God. It was so loud, it shook everything. Nothing could stand against the roar and laugh of God. And here's the scripture that backs it up, and now I understand the laughter a little bit more. Because it said, instantly I heard the verse declared in the Spirit from Psalm 2, verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. He who sits in the heavens laughs. And I want to give you the second part of that verse because she didn't, but the second part of the verse says this, the Lord shall hold them in derision. Derision there means contemptuous ridicule or mockery. When God laughs from heaven, he's mocking at the things of earth. He is mocking those who think they have the authority and think they have the power and think they have the wherewithal to manipulate and control, because God is the one who's ultimately in control. And when man thinks he's in control, God laughs from heaven. He laughs. Isn't that good? He holds them in derision. God is mocking the nations, so to speak, for what they think they are and who they think they are and what they think they can do. So she says, Psalm 2:4 and Psalm 24, 7 through 9, which is, lift up your heads, O ye gates, the King of glory shall come in. Okay? She said, those verses are key verses for the United States. That we need to hold on to those because they're key verses. It says, nothing will stand against my plans and what I am decreeing, says the Lord, and establishing within the United States. I am releasing my laugh of victory. I'm releasing my laugh of victory over the nation. I'm stepping in. Decree it with me. I'm stepping in. Somebody say, I'm stepping in. See, God is saying, I'm stepping in. We've talked recently about divine interventions, did we not? God stepping in, God interposing, God moving into a situation that we may think is impossible or can't be repaired or can't be taken care of, and yet God says, let me step in. God is creating divine interventions or divine interruptions. And so that's what they're talking about. That's what it's talking about here, okay? God is saying, I'm coming in, okay? The King of glory is stepping in. I am the one who will have the last laugh. I like that. For nothing stands against my plans and purposes. I am Yahweh. I am it. Nothing stands when God has his plans established. Do you believe that? I believe it. Think about this. There are prophecies or prophetic words that have been given that Donald Trump is going to be reelected. There were prophecies that he was going to be elected for the first term. Before he even said he was going to run. Before it was even thought of. there was a voice that was saying that he was going to run for office and be elected. And then when he announced his candidacy, what did all the news stations do? They laughed, didn't they? Let me ask you a question. Who had the last laugh? Who had the last laugh? I can remember one news station, they had a panel there, and I don't remember the lady's name, but she's tall and slender. And they were asking, you know, who do you think is the best candidate now for the Republicans? And she said, right now, Donald Trump. And when she said that, that whole panel just burst out laughing and giving her the shakes and the looks and like, are you serious? Are you serious right now? Look what happened. Because when God establishes it, it's done. So if this prophetic word is from the Lord and it says that Donald Trump is going to be reelected, wouldn't that be a huge laugh from heaven? From all those who are coming against him and all those who have been fighting him since before he even officially took office, those who have planned and devised scheme after scheme and rebellion and all kinds of insurrection, everything that they've thrown at him, and yet he is still strong, still moving. In fact, let me take a detour right now. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I want to share this with you only so you can make this a matter of prayer. These are the reforms of Asa. Verse 1 of 15, it says, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he met him. He said, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Think about those words. The Lord is with you when you are with him. This nation, God established this nation. And he says the same thing. I'm with you so long as you're with me. Okay, he's the one that establishes, not us. He says, the Lord is with you while you're with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without teaching priests, without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. God is so merciful. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. Doesn't that sound a lot like today? People have lost their peace. Now listen to what it says. There was great turmoil, but great turmoil was on the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation, city by city. Now listen to this. For God troubled them with every adversity. God can send trouble to a nation. Now listen to this. This is what I believe is for Donald Trump right now. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. If God is the one that placed him in this office, if God is the one that had the last laugh at this last election, then I believe this passage would fit for Donald J. Trump. You, Donald J. Trump, be strong and do not let your hands be weak. He has been the recipient of an onslaught of evil and scheming and plans and devices. And so the word to him is, do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So you pray for him along those lines. That's free. I won't even charge you for that. But I had to go there because we were talking about him, okay? It goes on, it says, as the Lord roared over the nation, I watched as his power and justice flowed from his mouth, and all delays, listen to this, all delays that were attempting to hinder the mighty extension of his kingdom and plans were suddenly failing. The plans that were being devised to stop God's work on earth were coming to an end. They were failing, okay? When God begins to do something, there is no one who can oppose him. He spoke again, where there has been a battle of delay, in some ways, I now declare, United States, accelerate further into your new day. United States, accelerate further into your new day. So there's a new day. There's a breaking open of the wells. Open up, open up, open up, she says, she prophesies. As the Lord was roaring over the nation, I could hear the loud sound. Now, this is why I'm doing this tonight. Because this is important, folks. As the Lord was roaring over the nation, I could hear the loud sound of intercession from the saints that was flowing with his roar. Why is God moving us into prayer more than ever? Why are we praying 5 and 6 times, you know, Monday through Friday? Why are we doing this corporately? Why are we extending our prayer time privately? Because God is leading us into intercession so that our voices will blend with his roar. In other words, we're coming into alignment with heaven in our intercession, and we're releasing those things as God is releasing them. It's important, folks. The prayer meeting is important. I encourage you to join us in prayer. If you can't meet with us and pray with us from wherever you're at those times. But I believe the prayer meeting needs to increase. I believe it needs to grow. I believe it needs, and hopefully I'll get to that if I don't get too carried away here. Because it's good. I'm telling you. It's good when people pray, right? How many of you know it's good when people pray? I'm telling you. It's just good. I don't know if it's good for you or not, but I know out of these times of prayer, most of my messages that I've been preaching have been coming out of these prayer meetings. I've been coming out of prayer. And the Lord's been showing me things in prayer. So I think it's incredible. So as the Lord is roaring over the nation, I could hear the sound, loud sound. Everybody say loud sound. The loud sound of intercession from the saints that was flowing with his roar. And then she heard him say, many have heard my roar. Many have heard the rhythm of my roar. And again, are interceding what my heart is decreeing. And listen, it is changing a nation from the inside out. Why is our intercession important? Why are these prayer meetings important? Because he's saying that we're coming in, we're interceding what his heart is decreeing. We're coming into agreement with what he's decreeing over this nation, and we need to be believing and trusting that our prayers are changing this nation from the inside out. We might be done with an incredible time of prayer, go out, watch the news, and everything is falling apart. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we see in the news. It doesn't matter what we see or read in the papers. It doesn't matter, because God is the one who's in charge. And if we are in alignment with him in intercession, then I believe our prayers are changing this nation from the inside out. We're changing this nation from the inside out. What does that mean? That means you're not looking, you're not seeing the changes right now, because they're spiritual, they're supernatural, and then they will be manifest into the natural. That's what's happening. Things are changing. Somebody say things are changing. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Did we think it would be easy? Do we think we just go to prayer and everything would be hunky-dory when we came out? No. It's warfare. It's doing battle. It's not easy, but it's necessary. It's vitally necessary. I watched as hard ground was suddenly being broken up by his roar. The fallow ground. Hosea 10:12. Break up your fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Right? So the Lord says, or she says, I watched as hard ground was suddenly being broken up by his roar. In the breaking open, hidden things were being exposed in greater ways. Aren't things being exposed today? Aren't people's motives being exposed? I was having a conversation today with a person and just said, you know what? The devil always overplays his hand. He gets excited, thinks he's winning, and he overplays his hand. And so what is he doing now? He's trying to get cities to abolish police stations, to abolish justice and law. He's overplaying his hand. He's playing the fool in that sense. But these things are happening, okay? So we're interceding. Hard ground is being opened by his roar. In the breaking open, hidden things were being exposed in greater ways, and the victory and justice of the Lord was being released. That's what's happening, folks, in the spirit realm. Victory and justice of the Lord are being released. There was a mighty move of the Spirit of God breaking chains of the hidden things that have been rooted for so long with their fruit, causing major delays. These things were being broken. The strongholds that have been on this nation are being broken. But the intercessors must intercede. Prayer must be lifted up. That's why the prayer meeting is so vital in this nation right now. It is so important, folks. These things are being broken. Now, let me just insert something here. This is from, you know, what I was looking at, because this kind of perked me up, and so I started looking at something. For anything to change, there must be a force that causes change. Right? For anything to change. That's a law, okay? For anything to change, another force must come upon it to create change. Newton's law of motion or inertia says this: if a body is at rest or moving at a constant speed in a straight line, it will remain at rest or keep moving in a straight line unless it is acted upon by force. This nation has been going a certain way, and now force is being applied to it to shift and change. The church has been going in a certain direction, and now pressure is being applied. A force is coming in to change the direction and the atmosphere and the condition of the church. The church will not change unless the Holy Spirit comes in to create the change. The church will not change until the force and power of the Holy Spirit comes in and cleanses us and purifies us and straightens us up and tells us and shows us how to act right. But I believe that's what's happening. I believe the force of the Spirit of God is coming in. And I believe, according to this word, I believe that God is shifting the nation by force. He's allowing all these things. He's using the coronavirus and all the mess that it's created as a way to shake things up. And now he's using the riots and everything else to expose and to bring exposure and light into dark areas. But there is a force that's taking place. God is shaking things up, but he's bringing in a force to change things. And listen, it's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to work through the church. So God is going to use the church to shake things up and to set things straight. We cannot be passive and just say, well, I'll vote in November and I hope that works. We don't depend on an election. We don't depend on a president. We don't depend on congressmen and congresswomen. We depend on the Lord and his Spirit. It says the things that are experiencing in this nation seems to be this force that will cause change to take place, good or bad. The scriptures say, if my people, right? God is still looking at his people, Old Testament, New Testament, okay? Now, I'm going to break right there, and I'm going to go to this here. And I've shared this. Some of you have seen it. Some of you haven't. That's why I just want to go over it with you again. But we talked a few years ago about changes in the atmosphere. We learned this from Dutch Sheets and some of his teachings. But I want to show you this because I believe this is what's happening right now in our nation, okay? So first of all, let's just get everything straight from the start, and let's just announce it, okay? Heaven rules. Right? Heaven rules. Now, it doesn't matter what we write down below here. It doesn't change heaven rules. Heaven is not affected or impacted by whatever happens down here, because heaven rules. Somebody say heaven rules. Now, heaven rules, but there's still forces of evil at work, okay? And this is what I want to talk to you about, because what we're talking about here is the first aspect of changes in the atmosphere. There first has to be an influence, okay? There is this influence. Now, we know that heaven rules. Nothing changes up there. But when it comes to life, when it comes to the physical realm and this visible realm, on one side, it's okay. We'll just put God, okay, and good. So on one side, we have God and we have good. On the other side, we have Satan and we have evil. So now we have two influences, but we have two influences that are trying to control everything below it. Okay? Influence creates atmosphere. Okay? So out of influence will come atmosphere. That's a condition. An atmosphere is all around the earth. Okay? It's the largest part of everything. Okay? So you have the influence, you have the atmosphere. Out of the atmosphere, we get smaller portions. We're coming down to smaller portions. You get out of the atmosphere, you get a climate. Now, when I'm writing these things, I want you to look at these as a spiritual thing. There's spiritual influence. There is a spiritual atmosphere, because we talk about atmospheres, right? We want a heavenly atmosphere, an atmosphere here filled with the Holy Spirit in His presence, so that God can be present to heal and to do signs and wonders and to minister to people, save souls and all those things. So we have a spiritual influence that creates a spiritual atmosphere. A spiritual atmosphere gives us a spiritual climate. Okay, we have the climate. Now, it begins to shift here, because once we go from climate, we go into the next phase, which is a belief system. Okay? You have belief systems. Climates will create a belief system. How many of you believe Arizona's hot in the summertime? Why? Because of the climate. People in the Northwest don't want to come to Arizona in the summertime because they know about our climate and they have a belief system about it. Right? Why do we call people who come here in the wintertime snowbirds? They come in the wintertime because it's warm here in the wintertime, but they leave when it gets springtime because it's snow. They don't want to be here when it's hot. Well, think about the spiritual aspect of that. Climates will give us spiritual belief systems. But here's where it gets tough, because belief systems will develop strongholds. Can you see all this in our culture right now? What's happening in our nation right now? Strongholds is what finally develops culture. Culture is the prize, because culture has to do with humanity, how we live, who we are. So you have all these things. Think about it as a spiritual system. You have a spiritual influence that creates a spiritual atmosphere, that controls spiritual climate, that releases belief systems, that develops strongholds that impact culture. And it's all spiritual. We see this happening in our nation right now. If you look at it in the spiritual realm, you'll see this happening in our nation right now. And you see God in good, and you see Satan in evil, trying to control the atmosphere, because influence controls, whenever influence comes in and impacts the atmosphere, it controls the rest of it. And so the flow is downward, like this. The church, why is the church having to pray right now? We're having to pray and intercede because we want God and good to control the atmosphere. If we only ask God to control the culture, we're not affecting anything above it. One of the problems the church has had is we prayed for the wrong things. I'm not saying it's wrong in exact figures. I'm saying that in context, we're praying weak prayers because we pray, God, change culture. God, get the drug addict off drugs. Get the alcoholic to be free from alcoholism. Get the child abuser to stop abusing. These are all the results of everything that's happened above it. And so a person gets off drugs and they're clean for a while, but they go back to drugs. Why? Because culture is not going to be changed if the things above it are not influenced and changed. Intercessors need to stop praying this way. Here's the great intercessor. And need to come up and start praying that God would take over the influence. That God would take over the influence so the atmosphere can change, so the climate will change, so the belief systems will change in a group of people, a nation, so that the strongholds can be broken, so that the culture can be healed. Healing comes from here, not down here. That's why we're praying, folks. That's why we're praying, because we believe God wants to move in this direction. We need these things. Now, let me just kind of, you know, go through some of this, okay? There's control and influence, you know, over culture, okay? It's determined by what takes place above it. So for change to take place, for evil to give way to good, there must be an outside force, like I talked about before, okay? Newton's law, there must, in order for this to change, there's got to be an outside force that causes it to change. If the culture is evil, it's going to take an outside force, God, to influence and come down to change the culture. because he's going to change it by his influence to change the atmosphere, to change the climate, to change their belief system so they can believe a different way, and strongholds will be broken so the culture will look differently. We pray for the culture to change, but we don't see strongholds breaking, so if strongholds don't break, the culture won't change. And so we need the outside force. We need Newton's law of good force, right? In order for this nation to change. There must be an outside force. God must intervene, divine interventions. The causes of upheaval in both the spiritual and physical realm, okay? Whenever there's a change, good or bad, whenever there's a change, and let's look at the good, whenever God comes in to change, it's because evil has taken over and is ruling the culture. So God comes in with a divine intervention. So when God comes in, we need to understand that it's a dramatic event, it's an upsetting event, and it's a challenging event. Because in order for this to change, there's got to be a whole lot of mess fixed up. And when God steps in, he has to fix a lot of things. He has to correct a lot of things. And there has to be a total change that takes place for culture to be able to have a shift towards God. And that's upsetting. Why are we going through everything in the nation right now? Because God is wanting to change the influence. God is wanting to change the atmosphere. He's wanting to change the climate. He's wanting to change belief systems. He's wanting to change strongholds. He's wanting to change all those things so the culture will change and honor him. But it's going to take an upheaval. Don't be surprised that the nation is experiencing the upheaval it is right now. It has to if things are going to change. How many of you have been praying for change? How many of you have been praying that God would heal our land? He's going to heal our land. It's going to be tough. It's going to have to be corrected. It's going to have to be plowed, and it's going to have to be uprooted, and it's going to have to be cleansed, and all these things are going to have to take place if our nation is going to change. And so it's not going to be an easy process. This is not an easy process. How many of you know that? Just watch the news, and you'll see that this is not an easy process. But evil is being exposed. Unrighteousness is being exposed. Immorality is being exposed. Belief systems are being exposed. Strongholds in this nation are being exposed. But they have to be if God is going to change anything. There's the cause and effect rule or the principle. Something happens that causes other things to happen. Right? Something happens here, it causes that to happen. Oh, that happens there, it causes this to happen. So there, it's like a chain link, you know, a linked affair, okay? So something happens, it causes something else to happen. Praying against the effects doesn't work. When we just pray against the effects, the outcomes, it doesn't work, okay? It doesn't create lasting change, okay? Proverbs 26:11 says the dog returns to its vomit. The dog returns to its vomit, right? You can clean up the vomit all you want. Doesn't change the dog. Okay? 2 Peter says a sow, after being washed, returns to his wallowing in the mire. Okay? So you keep praying for the culture to change. That's not addressing the need of influence of the atmosphere. So we've got to get our prayers right. Okay? We've got to get our prayers right. This is what we're talking about. Even with this prophetic word, it ties into this, because if God is doing this work in the nation, this is what we're looking at him doing. This is just a portrayal of what God is doing. It gives us a way to understand, you know, in a way what God is doing, okay? So when we pray, we can pray, God, we want you to control, to be the influencer. We know heaven rules. That's never going to change. This is unchangeable. Nothing is going to change up here. Heaven rules. Heaven will always rule. But we're dealing with everything down here. And that's why we need God. That's why we need God. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Let me go on. She says, out of the well, because she talks about wells, she said there was these chains or where these chains and the hidden things have attempted to cause delay in some ways in the United States. Now suddenly they were breaking, and I watched as wells were opening up. So as the chains were breaking, wells were opening up. And she said, out of the wells exploded fire and water. We just talked about fire Sunday, didn't we? The fire of God. We've been talking about these things. And what does she say? The prophetic word was, out of the wells that God was opening up, we're going to be exploding fire and water, fire and water. And then the Lord spoke again. This is the Lord speaking. It's time for fire and water. It's time for the fire of my presence, my love, my purification, my revival, and the waters of my spirit to cleanse and flood the nation. When God's Spirit moves in, he's going to cleanse and flood the nation with his presence. That's powerful. It's time for the fire and the water. The time has arrived. The fire and water flood. The United States will be marked by fire and water. There's a new day of divine marking and commissioning upon the United States. Fire and water. We're seeing these things in our nation. This prophetic word came out before the coronavirus, before anything ever broke out. This word, that's why I'm going backwards, because this word was given before any of this broke out. And we're seeing it come to pass in really incredible ways. Really incredible ways. I need to go on because I'm almost out of time here. But I want to just touch a couple things. One of the last things here, which I believe is happening right now, is this. I am drawing lines in the sand over the United States. And I am decreeing no more. Think about that. The Spirit of the Lord speaking. He's drawing lines in the sand. We're seeing the lines drawn in this nation. It's never been more evident that there are two nations in this nation now. There are two belief systems that are diametrically opposed one to the other. There's a line drawn, and the word is, I'm drawing lines in the sand over the United States, and I'm decreeing no more. And then she said the Lord gave her Chris Tomlin's song, Our God is Greater, for this. Our God is greater. Now, I don't have time to get into the actual lesson on that, but I want to share with you a testimony of a city back in like around 98 or so of what God did in a city. These were testimonies of how God transformed entire cities. So I'm just going to give you one. This one is called Kiambu, Kenya. This took place in Kenya. Okay, this, according to their own testimony on this video, this Kiambu was filled with evil, with rape, with violence, with you name it, alcoholism. It was just, it was bad. Okay, churches weren't growing. No one would even move to this town. They had a horrible reputation of being evil and immoral, and people wouldn't even go there. They wouldn't even go there to live. Okay. The testimony of that city was that bars and illicit stills outnumbered the churches. There were more bars than there were churches. The police used to pay or bribe their upper authorities so that they wouldn't have to go to Kiambu to police it. They actually bribed themselves out of going to this town because it was so bad. It was evil. The police didn't even want to go. No church would ever grow. In 1988, Thomas Muthi, I think is the way you pronounce it, Muthi, and his wife felt like God told him to go to Kiambu and plant a church. He didn't want to go. He wasn't thrilled about it. His own words, he said, I wasn't thrilled. And he said even other churches, other pastors and the churches of his denomination said, why are you doing this? Why are you going there? They didn't even have faith to believe that God would do anything. And they were serving God. But he felt God led him to go, so he went. Okay? And he said he needed to find and confront the main problem. Of course, he uses Ephesians 6:12. Okay? And he said the problem was not the people. And he said his question was this: what was the devil doing to these people? That was his question, to see if anything could be done. They spent 6 months in prayer and fasting and researching. 6 months, prayer, fasting, learning about the city, what's going on in the city, okay? they found out that there was witchcraft that was dominant in that city. There was a lady there called Mama Jane. She was a pretend Christian. She called herself a Christian. And she even called her house Emmanuel Clinic. Emmanuel Clinic. But she was a witch performing witchcraft. And even the city leaders were going to her so she could do her divination, her incantations, and her spells for favor. So this city was just filled with satanic witchcraft and evil, okay? They spent another 6 months of intercession, and they were just praying that God would break the spiritual power over the town, and it was broken. They sensed that God had broken it, okay? When they sensed God had broken it, Thomas, he had his first outdoor crusade. And the first week, they had 200 conversions. They had 200 conversions the first week. They began to see healings and people being converted. It became commonplace in the town. But that was like a year of prayer and intercession, okay? Seeing what was doing. God was having to move and intervene. They moved to a grocery store basement to increase the size for their prayer meeting. So they went into a grocery store basement and they held round-the-clock intercession. And they called that downstairs, they called it the prayer cave because it was downstairs. And they had round-the-clock prayer and intercession for that town, for Kiambu. They wanted God to move, okay? While they were having that 24-hour nonstop around-the-clock prayer, Mama Jane launched a counterattack, and they suddenly came under an oppression. The prayer team, the prayer cave became oppressed, and they really started grieving. And they started praying, and they knew where it was coming from, and they prayed, and they broke it. They found out, they took authority when they prayed, and they got, this was their prayer: God, either save her or move her out of town. Save her or get rid of her. That was their prayer, okay? In just a few days, once they recognized this oppression, in a few days after they began praying, their testimony is that in just a few days, she was stripped of her power, and in a few weeks, they saw her leaving town. She left town, okay? When she left town, the witchcraft was broken over the entire city, and God's presence began to hover over the entire town. Over the entire town. Kiambu then had the lowest crime rate in the country. They went from being one of the most evil and high crime rated cities to one of the lowest in the country. Local bars were closed and they were remodeled into churches. Conversions increased in the prayer cave, and the prayer cave grew to 5,000 people. 5,000 people praying. 5,000 people praying. This was a town that was dominated by witchcraft. This was a town dominated by evil spirits, dominated. Strongholds were controlling the culture because the belief system that they had given in to the belief system because of the climate and the atmosphere, because evil was influencing. But when all this broke, the strongholds were broken and the culture began to change, okay? Before all this took place, churches had about 30 to 40 people max in their church, okay? It began to grow, okay? 400 intercessors would gather to pray at 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning. They called it morning glory. They were going to morning glory. They also had Friday night meetings. So you got to understand, they had round-the-clock prayer. They had Friday morning prayer. They had early morning 6 o'clock prayer. They had all these prayer things going on. Wednesdays, they had Operation Prayer Storm. Prayer, 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 prayer. If this church prayed that much, would you come? Think about it, okay? They had such an impact. Their last statement was that the entire city of Kiambu had been transformed. The majority of people there had been converted brought into the kingdom. But what happened? Intercession broke it. And all that, you can see all this with what was going on in Kiambu. You can see all this and what's going on in our nation. And if God can do it in Kiambu, he can do it in Safford. If God can do it in Kenya, he can do it in the United States. If God can break the strongholds in a city, he can break them here. If he can break them over a nation, he can break them over this nation. But we have to believe. We have to believe. We have to believe. Let me just give you the end story of another one. Almalonga, Guatemala. Another evil city filled with, I mean, all kinds of stuff. Let me just tell you what it ended up. It ended up where 90% of the city was saved. Because of prayer and intercession that changed the influence, that changed the atmosphere, that changed the climate, right? That began to change each thing, belief systems, okay? The strongholds, and it changed the culture. God is at work in this nation to change this nation. But it's going to take a whole lot of upheaval to get it straight. But I believe that's what God is doing. I believe that's what God is doing. I believe this prophetic word and this teaching just kind of came together. And I believe we can see what God is doing. I think these are more relevant now than they ever have been. When I shared them before, this word was an exciting word. But we didn't have anything to really attach it to. Now we do. When I shared this on you know, the changes in the atmosphere, learned that from Dutch Sheets, and I studied it out, and I got all excited, and it was theory. But now it's practical. Now we're seeing this in a practical way. This is what God was showing us. God was showing us what was going to happen in our nation. And so we need to grab hold of this, and this needs to be our prayer chart. We need to pray for our nation according to this prayer chart. God, take over the influence so that you can control the atmosphere, so that you can monitor the climate, so you can change our belief system, so you can break the strongholds and you can heal our culture. That's the way we ought to be praying. It gives us some meat to our prayers, doesn't it? I'll tell you, it was exciting to me. I hope it was to you. If not, just act like it and smile. I was actually going to share on Elijah on Mount Carmel. But basically, that's what it was. The culture had fallen into idolatry and immorality. And for it to change, God had to change who was going to be the influencer. And he disrupted this whole thing so he could change the culture and turn them back to him. So that's what he did. He confronted the false prophets of Baal. And there were also the priests of Asherah there. There were 450 prophets of Baal, and there were 400 priests of Asherah. There were 850-1, if you really look at it that way. Now, it was the 450 prophets of Baal that were trying to call down fire, but the priests of Asherah were like, go, go, go. So it was like 850-1. But all it takes is one. All it takes is one to believe God. To believe God. Right? And so what happened? Glad you brought that up. What happened? God changed the influence. And when he changed the influence, the atmosphere broke and a new atmosphere came in. God changed the climate because everybody was saying, he's God. He's God. The climate changed. Their belief systems were broken. They saw that their false god of Baal was no god at all. And so the belief system broke. When the belief system broke, the strongholds had to break. You see, belief systems have to break in order for strongholds to break. You pray for the breaking of the strongholds and the belief system isn't broken. The belief system brings the stronghold back in. But when this breaks, this is broken, and then the culture can change. Isn't that good? That is good. If you didn't like it, I liked it. So I appreciate Dutch Sheets. I appreciate Lana Bowser. I appreciate, you know, the wisdom and the information, the revelations that God given. But I've studied this probably 5 times at least. I go over it because I see it coming into relevance, and I see it more today than ever. And I just hovered over it today and said, God, I see. This is how we need to pray. Any comments? Let's believe. This can apply to a family situation. It can apply to a marriage. It can apply to anything, okay? if we're praying for a child who's struggling in an area of our culture, if we only pray for the culture to change, we won't see it happen. If we're going to pray for one of our children, instead of praying this way, we need to pray this way. And we need to pray, God, get the influencers out of the way. If someone's trapped in drug addiction, we need to pray that God break the cartels and the drug dealers in town. You see, that's where we need to go. We need to go to the higher ups. We need to go to this. We need to go to say, God, would you cancel the works of the enemy? Would you nullify his plans and his schemes? And would you release your glory into the situation? You take over the influence. You control the atmosphere. You release the climate. You change the belief systems, break them, break the strongholds. And then when that all that is done, this person can be set free. We don't see all that happening, but that's what's happening in the spiritual. When a drug addict gets set free, when an alcoholic gets set free, from a child abuser gets free, when anybody gets free from a sin, it's because God has done something this way to break everything apart that's holding them hostage. That's what God did in Christ, came in to deliver us. Aren't you glad he did that for you? It's good, isn't it? All right, well, let's stand. I've gone way over. But that's okay, right? Father, thank you. Father, we see more clearly, at least, Father, even through this pattern that we learned years ago. That was theory to us then. Yes, it was exciting. We understood it. But Father, we're seeing it on a national level now, and it's so much plainer. That we're seeing, God, that you want to break the influences that have been over this nation so that you can change the atmosphere. God, so that the climate in every portion of this nation could be altered by your influence. So that, Father, you can move through each one of these steps so that you might be glorified in our culture. And Father, we pray that that's what you do. And Father, we pray not just as a nation, but those of us, Father, who are working through things and dealing with issues, Father, help us to understand that this pertains to everything. That you, the influencer, must gain control from top down so that lives can be set free, so that bondages can be broken, so that all this, Father, can make sense. But Father, we thank you that you are God and that heaven rules. Father, we would just once again make that declaration. Heaven rules. Our God rules and reigns, and that will never change, and nothing that happens in this realm will ever affect that. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for that stability that we have in you. And Father, help us to take this. Help us to apply it in our prayer life. Help us to apply it to this nation, God, so that we can see your kingdom come and we can see your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. Have a good night tonight in Jesus' name.